This is a HeadGum Original.
October 7th, 2017. Harlan Estate is hosting its annual Crush Ball, an evening featuring a traditional crushing of the grapes in celebration of the end of a successful harvest season in Napa and Sonoma Valleys. But this isn't some quaint grape-stomping event. It's an exclusive black tie dinner with a $50,000 per couple entry fee, attended by almost every major winemaker in the region, ostensibly in support of a select group of charity efforts. But in reality, it's a status symbol. It also happens to be the last time anyone saw Frances Meyer. Her date that night? Lyle Lamond. I'm Miles Fletcher for Public Radio America. This is Corked.
The Crush Ball is like the Oscars for wine, except no one there protests that it's too white every year. No, I'm kidding. They do.
How would you say the demographics break down?
White. Anyway, it's for a great cause, a charity. I forget which one.
This is Marcy Davenport, heiress to Davenport Winery and prominent Napa socialite. Davenport Winery is one of the largest in the region, first opening in 1878 by Marcy's great-great-grandfather, Conrad Chester Davenport, when there were just a few wineries in Napa.
So this was a huge event for the wine industry, obviously. This ball is enormous. There's billions of dollars under that roof. It was a big fucking deal. I was the only one representing the Davenports, of course. My sister Cynthia is a scoundrel and a flake, and my idiot brother Bellagio is dead. Do you have any dead siblings?
No, I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's more of a drain than you'd think. He died during a big game hunting mishap with one of the Trump boys. I always forget their names. The one who looks like Alexander Skarsgård if a confused old lady tried to dry him off in a microwave.
I think you mean Eric, the blonde one?
If you say so, whatever. Anyway, Davenport Winery is supposed to be a family business, but I'm the only one of us left without shit for brains and an incurable STI. Never sleep with my sister, Mike, even if she tries.
It's Miles.
It's Miles?
My name's Miles.
Why?
Marcy's mother, Eleanor, suffers from panphobia, an acute fear of everything. She hasn't been seen publicly in years. Marcy's father, Conrad IV, passed away in 2002, leaving the winery in the hands of his three children, after he suffered a massive heart attack at a bathhouse in Helsinki.
Oh, please. It was a regular-sized heart attack. Father had an excellent publicist.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry.
What happened? You spilled?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Now, I should mention we're out on a veranda at Davenport Winery, drinking a small batch estate blend at Marcy's insistence. When I tried to decline, she shoved the wine glass in my face, hurting my lip. The setting is one of the most peaceful in Napa Valley. A stone castle carved into a hillside overlooking a Chinese garden, a lake, and vineyards reaching out to the base of Mount St. Helena.
Well, I'm afraid I don't have any tips on getting wine out of a shirt, but I do know how to get it out of a bottle.
No, Miss Davenport, I'm good. Thank you. Gwen? I'm saying Gwen? It's overflowing.
Drink up, cuck.
Ow. Marcy is tough, emotionally and physically. This becomes clear to me when an acupuncturist enters and gives her apitherapy, in which live bee stings are used instead of needles. Marcy is stung repeatedly, and she seems to be in a great amount of pain, but never breaks eye contact.
I'm terribly sorry, Miles, but when Claudio gets his bees, we have to do the therapy at once, or else their stingers aren't fresh. You get it.
Ow!
Plus, the deliveries are unpredictable because the bees are dying, you know?
Sure.
We try to be sensitive to that and only use several hundred each session.
Oh, God. Fuck.
We could stop recording for an hour. It's okay.
God damn it. Claudio, what the fuck? You already did that spot, you big idiot.
I mean, Marcy, he's just a child.
He should know better. He's a bee guy.
Claudio, how old are you? He said this many, and he held up five fingers.
Mm-hmm. What's the problem?
Okay.
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 Okay, so the Harlan Ball.
Oh, yes.
Lyle and Frances went together?
Ugh. Honestly, I don't know how they got on the list. Frances is a lovely girl, don't get me wrong, but she's a complete nobody. Well, was a complete nobody. Getting herself murdered is the best thing she ever did, PR-wise, aside from working at Davenport, of course.
Wait, I'm sorry, Frances Meyer used to work for you?
Oh, yes, she was like a daughter to me. I miscarried all of my actual daughters during the third trimester. Couldn't stick the landing, I'm afraid. My husband likes to joke that my pussy is haunted. We're currently in the midst of an ugly trial separation. It's all very exciting.
So can you tell me a little bit more about Francis?
Oh, fuck! Claudio!
I mean, I don't know what else there is to say, really. She quite literally got her feet wet at Davenport Winery, stomping grapes for us as a summer job. And when she got serious about wine, I mean, really serious, I helped pay for her viticulture degree at Stanford. Do you know how expensive that is? She managed our estate's tasting room shortly thereafter, and then, poof! First chance she got, she up and left us for the French fucking laundry.
Oh, wow, the French laundry. I love the French laundry.
Eat my ass!
The French Laundry is a three-star Michelin-rated restaurant. It's been named the best restaurant in the world several times by Restaurant Magazine as well as Anthony Bourdain. It's also been the recipient of the Wine Spectator Brand Award. If you're a professional sommelier at the top of your game, working at the French Laundry is like playing in the NBA. Although she is reluctant to admit it outright, Marcy clearly still feels deeply betrayed by Francis because, quote, complete nobodies simply aren't associated with the French Laundry.
I made Francis Meyer. You can quote me on that.
Ow. Ow. You're hurting my wrist.
No, I'm not. I'm making a point.
Okay. Okay, point taken. Thank you.
Okay.
Ow.
Release.
But you alluded earlier to Frances getting herself murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think she was killed?
Everyone thinks she was killed. Lyle is a brute and a charlatan. Nothing more than a two-bit carnival barker. I loathe to even speak his name. I hate you right now for making me talk about him because honestly...
You brought him up.
Honestly, I'm literally barfing in my mouth. Swallowing it back down and barfing. Luckily I had a delicious risotto for lunch, so this is actually a pleasant experience. But I am barfing.
Local news reports detail a protracted legal battle led by the Davenports attempting to block LeMond Vineyards from opening. The Davenports contended that LeMond was impeding on their estate's hillside views, but locals say Marcy really just didn't like Lyle and wanted to push him out of town. The courts eventually ruled in Lyle's favor.
Lyle is a deplorable. He's simply the most repulsive man I've ever met. And I'm someone who hates her own husband. Frances might just be a Down Valley server with limp hair, but she was still far too good for him.
When Marcy calls Frances Down Valley, she's referring to a status division that locals define between the Napa elites Up Valley and the rest of the wine world, or Down Valley. Lyle is a decidedly Down Valley kind of guy and seems to have ruffled some influential feathers on his way Up Valley. Frances, a Down Valley self-starter in her own right and a complete nobody, became the youngest sommelier the best restaurant in the world has ever hired. By all accounts, they were a bit of an odd pairing. Frances, reserved and intellectual, and Lyle, brash and extroverted. But they were both in the industry. Lyle, owner and proprietor of LeMond Vineyards, and Frances, a renowned sommelier.
Lyle single-handedly ruined the ball. He was constantly sweating, and he wouldn't shut up to anyone who'd listen that he was the 6-5 guy. He got edged out by the other five. He then spilled a shrimp cocktail all over my Oscar de la Renta, and he said, "Sorry, toots, I'm all thumbs." And he waved his little thumb at me like a hitchhiker. I'm gonna sue him. And his thumbs.
And where was Frances during all this time?
Oh, she was mortified, I'm sure. The man was belligerent. And I made it a point to announce rather loudly, "Frances must be mortified. The man is belligerent."
This is corroborated to varying degrees by a number of other witnesses who spoke on the condition of anonymity. A few recalled that Lyle harassed Francis Ford Coppola during dinner to explain to him the science behind the movie Jack.
My God, and the grape stomping. I don't think they'll ever let him back after that fiasco.
The guests were directed outside to watch as a few migrant workers performed a traditional grape stomping ceremony. Now, at some point, Lyle proceeds to jump straight into a bucket of grapes himself, patent leather shoes and all. He tried repeatedly to get the bewildered crowd to sing "For He's a Jolly Good Fellow," to no avail. He then attempted a Russian squat dance of sorts and abruptly fell out of the bucket, landing hard and awkwardly on the ground, face first. He writhed and moaned in pain for a few moments while someone in the crowd recorded it on their cell phone.
Ow, 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 ow. All right, just gotta rub a little dirt in it.
He gets back up, shakes it off, and jumps right back into the bucket. He then falls out of the bucket again. He climbs back into the bucket and he says, "Check it out, this is the way to do it. Trust me, I've got this." He immediately falls out of the bucket again.
Ow, 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 ow. God, I fell right on the same part of my neck twice.
He then tries to climb into the bucket once more and falls straight away.
All right, nothing a stiff drink can't fix.
Lyle broke his collarbone and blew out both of his calf muscles. Yet, a stiff drink did apparently fix it as he continued celebrating the rest of the evening without really missing a beat. Towards the end of the night, Marcy says she saw Lyle and Francis having a big fight.
It was a huge blow-up. They were yelling at each other. She was crying. She'd finally confronted him about being a laughingstock, and he flipped out. When he gets mad, he's got a serious temper. I saw him yank her pretty hard.
So it got physical.
What'd I just say? What the fuck? What do you think yanking is?
Jesus Christ.
Fuck you!
Not everyone has the same recollection of the encounter. Some place Raymond Scalzo in the middle of the argument, who Marcy makes no mention of. Raymond Scalzo, or Cork, as he's nicknamed, is a notable entrepreneur slash venture capitalist and a former pornographic actor, producer, and director who founded the Pink Sin pornographic film studio. He's also the primary investor in Le Mans Vineyards. Other witnesses maintain Lyle was merely apologizing to Francis, and he was the one crying. One thing is certain, though. No one saw Francis leave, and no one has heard from her since.
Nah, man. Lyle loves Francis. He was thirsty as fuck for her. He legit carries a locket of her hair around with him. And not from her head either, if you catch my drift, huh? Pubes.
Harley Jackson is a tasting room associate at Le Mans Vineyards. She's 23, wears a sleeveless Kappa Kappa Gamma sweatshirt, and sips frequently on perhaps the largest to-go cup of Diet Coke I've ever seen. She offers me a pull from her vape pen, which fittingly contains Merlot vape juice. I politely decline.
You sure? I don't have cooties. I mean, I put a smear of Abreva on all my active cold sores yesterday, if that's what's freaking you out.
Oh, no. I don't really smoke.
They shouldn't be too contagious. You get used to them.
I'd prefer not to have them. Yeah, they look painful.
They're pretty bad. Like, I don't smile when they happen.
What do you, sorry, just to guide us back. What do you think of Lyle as a boss?
Oh, dude, Lyle is the shit, man. His whole thing is for people to have as much fun as possible at his winery. Like, he literally says to me day one on the job, hey, we don't do spit buckets here, we do puke buckets. Which I thought was so fucking chill. And honestly, he's just like a good dude. Like, I've got acute fucking clotting in this leg and chronic clotting in this leg.
Is that why I can see your heart beating in your right leg?
Yeah. Oh, plus, getting white girl wasted almost every fucking day isn't helping, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Health shit gives me mad anxiety. So I asked Lyle if he'd be cool with me bringing a therapy dog to work sometimes. He could have totally said no, because I think it's illegal in a tasting room with food and shit, right?
I think there are exemptions if the animal's certified.
Oh, shit. Okay. My dog is not certified. Yeah. They're not even really my dogs exactly. I'll just, like, see a stray on the street and swipe that cutie, you know? Cheers my ass up.
Sorry, but you swipe stray dogs where?
Like, outside of, like, a 7-Eleven, like a park, in a backyard.
Not to belabor this point, but I think that's someone else's dog. I think you stole a family's dog.
Okay, you're missing the forest for the trees, my dude. Point is, Lyle is willing to look the other way for the good of others. He's probably the most genuine dude I ever met.
This is interesting, because Harley isn't the only person who uses that word when describing Lyle. Genuine. Someone who's changed his entire identity at least twice in his life. First from Paul Della Russo to Buzzy Baldanza, then Buzzy Baldanza to Lyle Lamond. Harley also gives Lyle a pretty critical alibi. Francis is reported to have gone missing sometime between 10:25 p.m. the night of the crush ball and 8:30 a.m. the following morning, at which time police entered her apartment. Francis's parents woke up to a cryptic and concerning voicemail from Francis that morning and alerted Napa police. Police have withheld the release of the voicemail thus far. Lyle is seen on security footage leaving the ball at 10:47 p.m., Harley says Lyle came over to her apartment shortly after that and began spouting off ideas for his winery in a drunken stupor.
Yeah, Lyle was all amped up on some great-ass ideas. He does his best brainstorming when he's drunk, and my dude was so housed he was talking in cursive and shit. No, scratch that. Wingdings. You feel me, my dude?
Do you remember what time this was?
Yeah, for sure. So I was watching Big Bang Theory, so probably like 9 p.m.? Oh, shit. Or maybe 9:30. Fuck, it also airs at 10 and 11 p.m. and 2 and 2:30 p.m. on those weird channels, like up in the hundos, mm-hmm. where it's just like, what's the point of this channel? Just reruns? Like, I don't mind it, but whatever. So anyways, I found a fucking toad in the crawl space of my building that night and tongued the shit out of its bod because I wanted to, like, you know, get fucked up. I thought this might be one of those toads that you could get fucked up by. Turns out it wasn't. So I just licked the toad like a dumbass.
Wow. So you took the toad you found in your crawl space and you licked it.
Yeah.
What brought you to the crawl space? Why were you in the crawl space of your apartment building?
I swear to God. Someone kept calling my name. So I did not trip, but I did get mad sour stomach from that frog-ass toad, you know what I'm saying? So I had to smoke some fucking sweet kush till I got my sea legs, if you smell what I'm stepping in. That's why they call me Gnarly Harley. What was the question again?
I asked what time this was all happening.
Oh, fuck. Yes, okay. Big Bang Theory. 9.
Harley.
Fuck, but then they do it 9:30, 10, or 11.
Harley.
It could have honestly been 2 or 2:30 p.m. too, because that's fucking
Harley.
Playing on those hundo channels, you know, up in the hundos.
You literally just said this, almost verbatim.
Oh, fuck, I did?
Do you remember what time this was?
I gotta tell you, though, this frog.
No, Harley.
Like,
Harley,
you know the WB
Harley,
frog?
Harley.
Yeah, it looked like Michigan
Harley.
J. Frog.
Although Harley's memory like isn't too clear on the timeline.
What was it? What was the question?
Really, about anything. She did record their conversation that night on her phone at Lyle's request. It's timestamped beginning at 11:06 p.m.
Okay. Follow me here.
Okay.
So you know zonkies, right? They're like a zebra... And
a donkey. Yeah, motherfucker. Donkeys are my shit, man. God, you know what? I sometimes feel like we're connected on the wireless mind fiber.
Same password, same username.
Yes.
We're Bluetooth connected. I'm Bluetooth enabled. And I'm discoverable.
Wait, so are you gonna get one? A zonkey, I mean?
Oh, no fucking way. I'm not bringing another zonkey into my house. I'm saying I could cross-pollinate the cab grapes with the Sauv Blanc grapes and make the best goddamn rosé in the world. It's the zonkey of wine, man. Zonkey rosé, baby. Let's get zonked up on the zonkey, right?
Yes, that's such a good idea, man. See, it's shit like this, man.
This is the shit I'm talking about. This is why we're connected.
Are
you fucking recording this or what, dude? Are you getting all this?
Yeah, dude, I'm getting it. I'm recording it all on my phone. Oh, fuck, man.
Oh.
You're spilling the Gordita Crunch all over my fucking futon, bro.
Oh, no.
That's top shelf pleather.
Then later, at 11:24 p.m., Harley attempts a five-finger filet on Lyle, which involves Lyle placing the palm of his hand down on a table, fingers spread apart, while Harley stabs a knife back and forth between Lyle's fingers as quickly as possible without hitting them. I should note that Lyle has a second thumb on his left hand, so it's more of a six-finger filet. It doesn't go well.
So then you put the knife in between your fingers.
No, you put the knife
I in put the knife
my
in
my fingers.
There it is. That's how you do it.
Okay,
are you ready?
Ready.
Are you ready?
Ooh, ah, ah, ah.
Okay.
No. Use a bigger knife.
Bigger. This one's very heavy. Are you sure?
I don't fucking care, dude.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah!
It's a fucking rush, right? It's a fucking rush.
Oh, shit!
Oh, God. Oh, shit!
You fucking got me right the moneymaker, Harley.
Oh, shit! Oh, fuck, I'm so sorry. There's so much fucking blood.
Bro, why are there so many toads in here? There's so many fucking toads. It's biblical.
Alright, so I found and licked multiple toads from a crawl space during the night in question. Whatever. I mean, what kind of gotcha tactics are you using here, bruh?
Finally, at 12:32 a.m., Lyle seems to leave, and according to a neighbor's complaint, passes out in the bushes outside Harley's apartment. Security footage shows he remained there until the next morning. So, from at least 11:06 p.m. until the following morning, Lyle's whereabouts are known. That leaves just 19 minutes unaccounted for, from the time he left the ball at 10:47 p.m. until his arrival at Harley's at 11:06 p.m. Harley's apartment is a 7, maybe 6-minute drive from the Harlan Estates, and Francis's apartment is another 11-minute drive. Did Lyle even have time to kidnap, kill, or otherwise assist in Francis's disappearance? I have to admit, I'm a bit skeptical. I pull up to Le Mans Vineyards and make use of the complimentary valet. It's gorgeous. Rustic stonecraft buildings, meticulous landscaping, Italian marble flooring. From the outside, it's an impressive and quintessentially Napa venue. Inside, though, is far different than anywhere else in the region.
Next up on the tasting menu, folks, is a platter of beautifully prepared glam burgers. We've got mac and cheese burgers, bacon burgers, bacon burger. That's Kevin Bacon's bacon burger recipe. We have turkey jerky burgers. Be careful, those are a little dry. We have market price whitefish, and of course, hamburgers, our famous burgers made from ham. Came up with the name myself.
Lyle is dropping in on a Game of Thrones themed group tour at his vineyard, dubbed Vintner is Coming. It includes an all-you-can-eat tasting menu catered by the Cheesecake Factory that pairs with extremely generous pours of Le Mans wines. It offers an optional add-on for an on-call IV anywhere in Napa the following day. It's unclear where the Game of Thrones connection is in all of it. Whenever I mention the books or the TV show, he thinks I'm talking about Lord of the Rings. Lyle and I speak just outside the dining room on a balcony overlooking the valley.
Man, this is something else, huh? How gorgeous is this place?
It's gorgeous.
Thank you, yeah. Had to do my fair share of eliminating some species of animals to clear out some room here. There was a gorgeous little white fox that was just eating up all the grapes, so I brought in a chimpanzee. They're apparently, the natural predator to a fox. And mm-hmm. Woke up the next morning and I had 12 foxes with broken necks lying outside my door, and I knew that Bobo Jojo did what it needed to be done.
And I noticed both the foxes and the chimpanzee are stuffed in the lobby.
Yeah, the chimp ended up dying in drunk driving accident.
And this area, you found it, or?
Oh, that was all Cork. He's sort of the money guy, the real estate guy, the guy who's willing to sign his name on documents and stuff like that.
Usually in the wine business, there's a partner who's, quote, the money guy, and a partner who knows what they're doing. To be honest, I'm not sure Lyle falls in either category. But when I'm in front of him, I kind of get it. It's hard to deny his charisma.
So his Chinese wife says to the black priest, "You could slick their hair back and make them look five."
He's gregarious and effortlessly agreeable, at ease with seemingly anyone.
I don't give a crap who Rasputin is. Someone better clean up this fecal matter. This lady knows what I'm talking about.
But underneath Lyle's burnished charm is his working-class Louisiana upbringing.
Just look at this beautiful-ass statue.
Wow, yeah.
I wanted the statue that they had in the gallery, but the tits were too small, so I got them upped big time.
I can tell. It looks like maybe you did the work.
Yeah. You know, you could buy clay at any one of these art supply stores, and I just slapped them on the outside there. So now that chick has no arms, but she's got double D's. I go in the statue garden, and I do a little light pubic hair chiseling, or, you know, I'll expand an areola here or there, or two. I usually do them in pairs.
Sure.
You ever see a vineyard that has an outdoor weight bench? People can just drop in, bang out some sets. They can look at all my beautiful statue garden in there. And, hey, look, I know it's 2018, but I just want to say there's no dude statues in there. It's all chicks.
Yeah. Most times when people say it's 2018, it usually is followed by a progressive statement.
Yeah, no, but I just want to be clear that we got big titties, we got shaved beeves, we got the jungle gym for the kids.
He can't help himself from being crude and off-color, which some find endearing, others offensive, but all agree is in stark contrast to the stuffy wine society circles he keeps.
Here's the thing. You could put lipstick on a pig, but I'm still a gorgeous pig without it. I refuse to be boring. Now, granted, I might make you uncomfortable, but that's your problem. I'm not wearing a bathing suit ever. Get on board or get the fuck off the beach.
Lyle's introduction to the wine world was as unconventional as his place in it today. In 2011, he started a YouTube channel called I'll Eat This, in which he filmed himself consuming anything suggested by commenters and jackass-like stunts. Ghost peppers, Tide Pods, a shot glass full of fingernail clippings, even the head of a live rattlesnake. To this day, it has 19 subscribers. When grotesque stunts didn't gain the traction he hoped for, Lyle transitioned to wine reviews. He made an astute calculation. Wine tastings are typically led by the type of people he'd never have a drink with, so why not review wines for the everyman? In Europe, table wines are $2 a liter and are consumed casually. Why not impart that same philosophy to Americans? Here's a clip of one video from July 2013. Lyle wears a shirt that reads, "I only drink on days that end in Y, spelled W-H-Y."
Welcome back, wineheads, to another episode of Menace to Sobriety. I'm your host, Lyle Lamond, LLM. Today, we're tackling box wine, which, believe it or not, is no better or worse than bottled wine. It's all packaging, baby. For example, Grey Goose was created by the same guy who made Jaeger. And I ain't talking about the Pacific Rim suits. Grey Goose wasn't selling for shit, so they slapped that thing in a fancy bottle, jacked up the price, and marketed it as premium vodka. It didn't change the recipe at all, but the dude made a fortune. Next thing you know, every white girl named Rachel in a BMW 3 Series is smashing Gooses and tonics. So what I'm getting at is, let's not judge a book by its cover.
Now, Lyle claims to have synesthesia, which makes for some unorthodox tasting descriptions.
I'm getting hints of periwinkle, flavors reminiscent of the sultry voice of John Hamm narrating a car commercial. Ooh, a little back end of guilt. All in all, I give this wine 5 bunches of grapes. Okay, my mistake. 6 bunches of grapes.
5 bunches of grapes is considered a perfect score. But I should note that Lyle has 6 fingers on his left hand. Now, when he's really over the moon about a particular blend, he gives it 6 bunches of grapes by simply holding up his left hand instead of his right. Lyle explains that what was once a source of profound shame for him is now his greatest asset. He pulls out a bottle of nail polish from his fanny pack and gingerly applies a clear finish to what he calls his moneymaker.
Yeah, I try to get a bi-weekly manicure for general upkeep's sake, but I do all my own paintwork. I'll go with green polish on St. Paddy's Day, and I went blue and white once to placate the Jews. But 9 times out of 10, I just use a nice clear polish, and that's enough to help the old girl pop on camera. Look at her catching the light.
Oh, wow, yeah. Definitely see it's shinier now.
Yeah.
Lyle admires his paint job and shoves his glistening malformed extra finger inches from my face. Then he pins me down and makes me smell the finger. He says, "Smell the extra finger." I do, and we move on. It smells like nail polish, Lyle. I don't know what you're fishing for here.
Well, you know, it's all about the fan service, Miley. Can I call you Miley?
Well,
my fans love me, and I love them right back. Yeah, I guess I could be focusing on, like, quality control, honing your craft, basic hygiene, figuring out what grapes actually go in what wine. Those things are all well and good, but they're a distant second to the fan service.
Lyle's wine review show quickly went viral, accumulating 3 million subscribers in a matter of months. It wasn't long before he partnered with Cork Scalzo. Lamond Vineyards was up and running in the fall of 2015.
I'm not making wine just for Wine Enthusiast magazine or some, you know, snooty sommelier from Tribeca. I mean, that's what Napa establishment like Marcy Davenport doesn't understand. My wine is for everybody. My wine is for Mark Cuban in the front row and a freak with penguin hands in the back row. Either one of those people, a homeless lunatic with a concealed carry permit.
How often is the latter a part of the Napa scene?
I've got a policy that if they're looking to learn, you gotta let them in.
Sure.
There's always a vagrant or a lunatic or some sort of, I mean, we don't use the word anymore, but there's always some freak running around. Someone with a fucked up head or, you know, all kinds of weirdos, psychopaths. And they're all great people. Look, I don't give a fuck which way their head is pointed. You show up and you're just a winehead to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always trying to come up with new, innovative ways to bring the house down. I'm still beta testing this shtick, but I also have a third nipple that lactates this milky substance whenever I give it a good honk. It sprays everywhere.
Ugh.
I haven't quite figured out how to monetize this thing, though. I whipped it out at the Boston Wine Expo, and it did not test well. Accidentally blasted a Korean War vet in his freaking bifocals.
Jesus.
I was drummed out of the Boston area. I was just always on my mind, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like my go-to fetish. That and farting on cakes. Hey, napkins, baby. Hey, babe, some napkins and wet naps over here?
Lyle chomps on a cigar and waves down a busboy at Buffalo Wild Wings, someone he keeps calling Brian, even though his name tag clearly says Devin. At one point, he takes him in for a hug and calls him son.
Sweet.
It's noisy, and 45 minutes outside of Napa, but it's where Lyle insisted we get lunch. Blazing sauce, the hottest on the menu, is caked all over his hands, face, stomach, and feet. He wet naps his 6th fingernail, but ignores the rest of his body.
Is she still, catching the light? The old moneymaker there?
Yes, please. You have a lot of sauce in your hands, and you've flicked it into my face a couple times, please.
Okay, well then add blue cheese if it gets too hot.
Wow, okay.
It's wings, you know, baby, chill. Look around, Miley. These are my people. I'd love for my wine to have a presence at a place like this all over the country. BWW, Buffalo Wild Wings, wine. You know how Miller is the champagne of beer? I want Le Mans to be the champagne of wine.
Well, champagne is actually a sparkling wine, so I guess you could say champagne is the champagne of...
You know, a lot of these snooty winemakers, they only want to sell their wine to, like, three-star Michelin restaurants, like Le Bernardin, 11 Madison Park, Cirque du Soleil, or whatever. But me, I want to serve my wine at Target, at arena football games. I want to serve them at an underground sewer tour that's being given illegally by Brooklyn hipsters. I want my wine to be sold to mole people. I want my wine to be dropped out of airplanes in Ethiopia and given to the starving children. I want to sell my wine by the bucket at gun ranges, in Ubers. I want to get my wine inside of Ubers. And I want Uber drivers drinking exclusively my wine.
I went to the restroom, and when I came back, he was still rattling off locations, almost as if he was in a fugue state.
At like 5K fun runs, you should be able to grab a glass of my wine off a table and pour it over the top of your head.
We head back to Le Mans Vineyards on Lyle's Segway. He makes me ride on the back, holding onto his waist. When we get there, Lyle gives me a sampling of all of his wines. And I do mean all. He must have shown me over 50 vintages.
This one's going to give you a real light, happy, carefree buzz. It used to be called Liquid Prozac, but we got in a little hot water with the Pfizer people for selling. Well, we also were crushing up Prozac and putting it, so we're getting in trouble with this way and that way, but this wine is peaked.
Okay. How about this one here?
Oh, here. You're going to like this one. It's a full-bodied red that makes you want to sort of sit in a squat and smoke cigarettes like a store owner in Chinatown. This one is a little spicier. If you'll see, it's got a little bit of spice to it. You know when you step off a diving board backwards and hit your chin real hard on the board and you're sort of knocked out clean? That's what this wine is.
That's highly specific. I gotta be honest, it tastes similar to the last 15 that we've had.
Well, maybe to you with the untrained mouth, but I've been training my mouth since I was a little boy.
Really? Now, some folks, they get a little bit perturbed because of your means of getting attention, connecting with some of the non-typical wine drinkers.
Is this about how I was handing out Malbecs at a methadone clinic?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm happy to help people quit the harder drugs. Red wine is chock full of antioxidants, and what do we know about doneheads? Chock full of oxidants. Let's get them down there. Let's get them sipping on a Cab Sauv or something. We'll get it all going.
A few hours later, I catch Lyle in a quieter, more introspective mood, and I decide to finally broach the topic that I came here for. Lyle, if you don't mind, I'm curious, what do you think happened to Francis?
Coppola? I mean, I know exactly what he's up to right now, but I can't get within 300 feet of him for the time being.
Sounds like a restraining order.
That's all semantics, and I'm not anti-semantic, as I've been called a number of times.
No, I was actually talking about Francis Meyer. Where do you think Francis is?
Who can say? I mean, for all I know, she's on a desert island doing chin-ups, trying to get in shape for the CrossFit Open. She could be...
She's retreated to a desert island for 6 months to train for a CrossFit Open?
I'm just saying it's possible, you know? She's like one of those chicks that just, like, she gets her mindset on something and there's nothing she could do about it. These chicks, they read one article about how phones are bad, and then next thing you know, they're, you know, rejecting all that and going full cave woman, you know, full paleo. I mean, she didn't eat a lot of grains, so maybe she's gone, like, whole hog keto.
You can see, though, how maybe someone not having a lot of grains or pointing at their diet doesn't quite add up to whether... Missing.
Oh, I don't know if she's technically missing. You know, people go off the grid all the time. You know, they'll delete Facebook because of all the stuff that's going on with the links, and then you won't know where they are, and then everyone will start like an investigation into what happened to them, and then they reveal, I just went off Facebook because I couldn't deal with the links anymore.
What is Facebook to you?
Oh, Christ. To me? I don't know. A website? An app? It's something different to everybody.
No, it's a website.
It's a website?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes more sense then.
But why do you think she wouldn't contact you or friends, family?
You know, she's easily distracted. She's easily distracted. Like, we'll go on road trips and, like, she'll be in charge of navigating and she'll totally forget to do that. So, like, it's easy to imagine a world in which she's in, like, some
beachside hut in Vietnam and not responding to any of her emails or texts. But, like, that doesn't worry me because we used to go, like, days without talking to each other.
You would?
Yeah.
So you would go full-on days?
Yeah, yeah. But I would go out for, like, walkabouts, vision quests, and she would go out for errands, grocery shopping type stuff. And we would just miss each other for a couple of days at a time. Who knows? I mean, maybe she's still at the grocery store.
Now, has there ever been a time where Frances went missing for... a period where you were worried?
Oh, yeah. There was one day where I woke up and all the lights in the house were off and I couldn't see a thing. And I spent like 5 hours searching the house for her, could not find her anywhere. And I was like, she's gone. She's disappeared. And then she came home and she found me on all fours in the living room with my sleep mask on. And she was just like, babe, you got to take your mask. And I took it off. I was like, you know, it's 4 p.m. It's beautiful out. She was just going to yoga with her friends. So literally anything's possible. I miss her.
Oof. Got hot all of a sudden, huh? I am sweating up a storm. Why don't we cool off in the cellar with some Pinot Gris?
No, I think I've had enough for today. You know, I've spoken to people who were at the Harlan Ball, and they say you and Frances had a physical altercation.
Who told you that? Marcy? Let me tell you something about Marcy, okay? She's been leading a mudslinging campaign against me since the day I got here. Literally. Her groundskeepers threw mud at me while I was on my Segway. There's nothing sacred, Miles. I had a hot meal with me from Buca di Beppo.
Oh, that's shocking.
The whole thing's a witch hunt, Miles. Witch hunt. Was I drunk at the Harlan Ball? I say I was having fun. Did I wear Zubaz and a He Hate Me XFL jersey to a black tie dinner? No way to know for sure. Did I lay one of my 11 fingers on my beloved Frances? Absolutely not. I put a finger in her on the ride to the Harlan Ball, but I would never, ever hurt her. Unless it was mutually agreed upon consensual situation in which the pain was part of enhancing the climax. In which case, I would hurt her lightly until she said the words Montepulciano, which is our safe word.
Okay.
Miles, you should stick around tonight. We're toasting barrels and having a pig picking. Should be great material for your show. Gonna try to polish off a buttload of our finest Cabernet.
I don't think Lyle's being crass here. A buttload is actually a technical term, equivalent to a little over 2 barrels of wine, or about 650 bottles.
And who knows, once we surpass buttload, maybe we'll go right to shit ton.
Lyle, I have something I want to show you. I think you should look at this. I've been talking to an old friend of yours. Do you remember Jeffers Tatum Trench?
Okay, this is starting to feel like an ambush, Miley.
I hand Lyle a copy of the photo Jeffers gave me of the two of them. The color in Lyle's face drops, as does his warm facade.
What the fuck is this? Where did you get this?
Jeffers,
who gave this to you?
Okay, so Jeffers gave it to me. He's been looking for
get
you.
Get the fuck out of
here. Lyle, I just want
to
know.
Get the fuck out of here. There's the door. If you know what's good for you, please.
Lyle, I think if you know what's good for you, I'm just trying to help, okay? I just want to know.
Guillermo! Venga aquí, amigo. Andre!
Okay, I'm going. I need your mic.
Guillermo! Mira!
Here.
Thank you. And the pack in the back.
Oh, fuck.
No, Guillermo. I can... Guillermo.
Okay. Ow. Okay, thank you.
I'm promptly escorted off the premises of Lamont Vineyards, thrown by the fact that Lyle had a bouncer on standby, and that bouncer was accompanied by Harley Jackson brandishing nunchucks. I spend the night at my hotel replaying everything in my mind. How long might it take a heavily inebriated grown man with 2 torn calf muscles and a broken collarbone to stumble through an unplanned kidnapping? How about a planned one? How about something even more sinister than that? Like a murder? 19 minutes? That's how long Lyle's whereabouts remain unaccounted for. And I have to admit, I'm having some doubts. I lie awake that night strategizing where to go from here. I'd like to speak with Frances' parents, Jean and Deborah. They're convinced of Lyle's guilt, and I'd like to know why. There's also Cork Scalzo, the notoriously enigmatic millionaire who bankrolls Lamont Vineyards. How much does he know about Lyle's past, and what did he do to help him overcome it? I'm walking from my hotel to my rental car, and I'm confronted by a swarm of flies. I look up and my car is covered in what I first mistake for blood, but as I get closer, I see that they're grapes. Lots and lots of mashed red wine grapes. Go home pig fuck is smeared on the windshield. Oh yeah, and that strange watercolor seascape with the brooding horseman, and the threatening note that calls me sugar tits. I decide to call my wife to let her know I'll be staying in Calistoga longer than anticipated, and I notice I have 14 voicemails from Jeffers. It's the first I've heard from him since our altercation in Dumb, and frankly, I'm relieved to hear from him. He tells me the fire and fury of a thousand suns has been ignited in him, and he's tired of waiting for answers. He tells me that he, Booger, and Kimber are at a highway rest stop in what can best be described as a stolen Toyota Yaris. He tells me he's on his way to Napa. Tiptoe to the window, by the window is where I'll be, and tiptoe through the tulips with me. Tiptoe through the garden, in the garden of the willow tree, and tiptoe through the tulips with me. Knee-deep in flowers will stray, we'll keep the showers away. Corked is written, directed, and edited by Giancarlo Fiorentini and Jonathan Grimm. This episode stars Anthony Gio, Mary Holland, Betsy Sodaro, and John Gabris. Corked is mixed by Ferris Manchi. Our theme song, Tiptoe Through the Tulips, is arranged and performed by Jeff Plate and produced by Paul Ritchie. This episode features the song Beware by Paul and the Tall Trees. Special thanks to Jake Hurwitz, Amir Blumenfeld, Marty Michael, and Marissa Melnick.
Was a HeadGum original.